Howdy ho, it is time for the HomeKit Insider Show. It is me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and MagSafe evangelist, Stephen Robles. I had to look around. I didn't have a prepared thought on you, and there's a MagSafe charger on my desk.
So. Hey, it's all right. I mean, I like MagSafe. I still charge every night with MagSafe. So, you know, in the car, use the Belkin one in the car. I mean, I don't know if I ever... No, I do plug my phone in directly in the car because the Belkin one, you know, it's just the magnet. You know, it's not a charger.
Yep.
Which one have you been rocking in the car since we're talking about MagSafe?
Right now, I'm still using the ESR one. But today, like after I hang up with you, I am going to finish building my testing rig for MagSafe car mounts. So I've got like 3 or 4 MagSafe car mounts, and I'm going to hook them all up, and I'm going to attach a phone to them. And then I'm going to slide them down to a ramp into something hard. And we're going to see which ones hold on better than other ones.
That's pretty cool. That's going to be a video test kind of thing?
Yeah. So I've got iOddy.
Awesome.
Belkin, ESR. I think I got one more in there.
That'll be fun. No, that's awesome. We actually have a ton of HomeKit news. A bunch of companies, not the typical ones either. A few of our regulars, but a bunch of people announced random HomeKit products recently. We're going to touch on all of them. It's pretty cool that that's the deal now. First of all, I'm excited about this one. We've talked about smart shades in the past and blinds from Hunter Douglas. And now Eve is getting in the game, which we love Eve. They have all their HomeKit products, you know, no hub. They got their switches and light strips and all that kind of stuff. And they've partnered with, I'm going to try and say this name. You can correct me if I'm wrong on the pronunciation, but Coalice. I don't know.
It's just weird hear you saying like French sounding words in your southern accent. So
you're this early in the morning, you gotta diss me like that. Listen, je veux que le matin ignore les noms que j'ai dit à la nuit. Okay, I know a little French. Okay, I mean I know how to pronounce all these words, but Colise
from the south of France.
Yeah, it's from Nice, pronounced nice here in America. So anyway, Eve is sponsoring with Colise to make some motor blinds. These are going to be Eve motor blinds. Will not require a hub like all the other Eve products, which is awesome. Smart blinds will work with HomeKit, of course. And they're going to be thread enabled, which is awesome. We love to see your thread stuff. Eve was one of the first companies to really kind of put thread in their plugs and their other kind of stuff. So really cool. And this will be available early 2022. So we are a few months away from this, but I don't know. I'm excited about these and they look good.
Absolutely. I love HomeKit shades. I think we all need more of them. So I'm excited. We're going to have some thread-enabled versions to try out.
Very cool. So I'm excited. So that is that. We'll put a link to our article in the show notes. Then this next brand, I had not heard of this one before. This is going to be a pronunciation episode where we try to pronounce a bunch of different things. Misa, I assume. M-Y-S-A. Miasa. Anyway, M-Y-S-A. They have a new switch for electric baseboard heaters, which I guess it's a thermostat. If you have baseboard heaters, I think I had these back up in New York. It would be, you know, the heaters on the bottom. But anyway, so it's a new switch. It's coming to North America. And I just have to say, I had not heard of this brand before, but their switches and thermostats look really cool. I mean, they're futuristic, very clean, simple design, just has little lights basically for arrow up, arrow down, and then whatever the number it is. The number is like these little dot lights. We'll put the image in the chapter art if you're listening to the podcast, but these will be HomeKit enabled. And I guess these are also part of a line of products. They also have other thermostats, not just for heaters, available that are HomeKit. Have you ever heard of this brand or do you have any other stuff?
Nope, never heard of them.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They have a smart thermostat for air conditioners, and then they have one for in-floor heating and baseboard heaters. It's like $120 for the air conditioner one, $150 for the electric baseboard heaters, which is their new product. But I was curious. I didn't know if these would work with systems that have, you know, heat and air. You know, I use the Ecobee thermostat, which does both. You know, it could be cool, can be heat, can be auto and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't seem like it could be one of those like dual things where it can do both. But I don't know. I really like the way this looks. So HomeKit, boom. So that's the Misa electric baseboard heater. Then next, this is something very interesting because we spoke about this on a past episode. We were hoping for something like an occupancy sensor, where not just a motion sensor, but if there could be some sensor that tells if a person is sitting in a room, even if they're still, so the lights don't get turned off on them. And this looks like, I think, one of the first. This is by a company, Wozart. I mean, it's like Mozart, but with a W. So maybe it's Wozart.
Wozart.
And so they have an occupancy sensor. It's the Sense Pro, and they say it uses a combination of methods. They're dubbing it true occupancy, including thermal imaging and a couple other sensors to see if someone is actually in the room, to see if there's an occupancy. And even if someone's motionless, it can tell. Unfortunately, it's micro USB, whatever. You know, these companies still doing it. You know, switch to USB-C. Come on. But I am very curious about this product. It will be HomeKit compatible. But as far as I know, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but is occupancy a thing in HomeKit yet?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. There's motion detected and occupancy detected.
Oh.
Both those are two different characteristics or whatever in HomeKit.
Okay. Well, that's pretty sweet then. If you could just get one of these, it looks like a black little half circle, like a half moon thing. This also has an IR blaster built in, which we've talked about, like the SwitchBot hub in the past, where it has an IR blaster and can control other dumb devices. I think an Akara hub also has an IR blaster. So if you have like an air conditioner window unit, or you want to control a dumb TV, or just something that would use an IR remote, this occupancy sensor can also act as that because it has a built-in IR blaster. So this thing looks very interesting. No availability or pricing yet. So not sure when this will be available in the States or how much it will cost. But I can tell you 100%, I'm going to try this thing because I'm curious to see how this works as opposed to a motion sensor.
Yeah.
You think you're going to try this out?
Yeah, I'll try anything. I mean, I haven't had too much of a thing yet. I'm not sure what I want to do. And I haven't really tried, because some of the ones I have now claim occupancy, and I haven't done enough testing to look at like what they're triggering as occupancy versus motion, right, and if there's any difference in what they're reporting in. Mm. But I know several different sensors I have now do report like occupancy and motion. So I have not tried it enough.
Are there any other HomeKit occupancy sensors? I know you had talked about that one, but it wasn't HomeKit or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Several that I know I do have report occupancy. I don't know which ones they are, like off the top of my head, but I don't know. Because in terms of like your automations, for some sensors, they're going to detect motion, but they're going to report it as motion and occupancy. Because if there's motion in the room, there's probably occupancy in the room. Not always the same thing. That's the general idea. So there are sensors that kind of report both back, but I don't know if they're making a distinction between motion and occupancy, or if they're just doing it so that you can run your triggers off of occupancy.
Gotcha.
Versus motion. So I'm not sure.
Okay. I found a brand called Hiome. It's H-I-O-M-E. Which, I mean, I'm not a branding expert, but that is a difficult word to grok at a glance. It's home, but you just add a random I in there. They are claiming that they have the first true occupancy sensor for your home, and it is HomeKit enabled. It also connects with Philips Hue to automate smart home devices. This is interesting. We're going to have to do some more research on it, but apparently there's a Hiome Core, which is like the hub, and then they have door sensors. And yeah, this is interesting. I will put a link in show notes to this. Listeners, if any of you out there have a Hiome occupancy sensor.
God, I hate hearing you say it. I hate hearing you say that word.
Yeah, I know. I hate hearing myself say it. It's pretty terrible. If you have one of these Hiome cores and door sensors.
Why'd you say
I'm just doing it on purpose now.
I'd rather hear you say moist for 5 minutes straight than
no, that I won't.
That
won't
say weird word.
I won't say that. I will not say that word.
Okay, so looking at my stuff here, I have, this is my Ecobee.
Right.
And the orange one in the center is your occupancy, and then your green one is your motion. So Ecobee is doing both. Occupancy and motion, but I have not played around enough to know if it's able to differentiate between when there's just motion in the room of like, I don't know, a lamp falling over versus like a person walking through. Cause usually lamps fall over in your rooms when no one's in there.
Right. Well, this Wozart one says it uses, you know, thermal detection. So I guess heat.
Yeah.
So unless you have a super hot lamp in your room, I think you'd be okay if it if one falls over. But this curious, I want to get into these occupancy sensors very soon. I think it'd be pretty sweet. So anyway, we'll put links to all that in show notes, listeners. You can look at the Wozart occupancy sensor and the Kim occupancy sensor. That's funny. All right, this last one, super weird product. It is a camera, indoor HomeKit camera. It is called the Homam by Zorochka. That sounds like Zarathustra. I don't know. But it is a quote-unquote high-end HomeKit camera. I'm not exactly sure what is high-end about it. It is also, it has USB-C, which is nice, but it's only 1080p, which again, HomeKit Secure Video is only 1080p, so makes sense. It has a bunch of things like image something, gamma correction, color correction, a bunch of, looks like quality improvements, like there's a bunch of little features and that kind of stuff for imaging, but still only 1080p, so it's like, I'm not sure how much detail you're going to get from this anyway. But get this, Andrew, I think it's $400. $400.
It seems high.
For this indoor wired 1080p security camera. It does connect to both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz wireless networks, but I don't know.
Is it HSV or just HomeKit?
Advanced HomeKit Secure Video Features.
Well, that says HSV.
Well, I feel like they said HomeKit Secure Video Features. Apple HomeKit technology provides an easy, secure way to control your HomeKit-enabled thing. So, oh, recording video using HomeKit. So, yeah.
Okay, see.
HomeKit
okay.
Secure Video.
Ah, look at that.
Still, though, I don't know if that's worth $400.
I don't know.
It has our own app, which also connects to it, and there's like little tools and stuff in that. I mean, it says you can do like activity zones and all that. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. It does HomeKit Secure Video, but I don't know why. I don't see the proposition here. I'm not sure why it's $400. But anyway, get a Logitech Circle View, listeners. I got two of those. I love them. So HomeKit Secure Video, they work great. If you were going to get a HomeKit Secure Video camera today, Andrew, being in October of 2021, with what's available now, which one would you go with?
The Eve.
Now, the Eve is indoor, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had to do one that would...
Okay. To be fair, the Logitech Circle View, it's outdoor, but it doesn't come with like an outdoor power supply or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you got to get hacky or something like that. So like the camera itself is like water resistant, but without any outdoor power connection option, a lot of people are going to be just, you know, hacking something together or hoping.
Yeah. Like I did, and I killed a Circle View, but then I got stuff. I got the right stuff and they've lived on. The ones that I had. I was listening to Marco Arman on ATP. He was talking about trying to find outdoor security cameras, and he resorted to kind of what I did, was basically buying indoor cameras and using them outdoor and hoping the rain doesn't kill them. It said it killed one or two of his, but he went with the Logitech Circle View in the end because it is rated for outdoor if you could figure out the power stuff. With the Eufy cameras, I'll put a link to their website, but oh my goodness, they have so many options. I remember I did use I used the Akara G2H camera, which is cool because it acts as an Akara hub and it's also a camera, HomeKit, and I actually put it like in a window and you can actually get pretty good video. If you have a window pointed in the direction you want an outdoor camera to point, you can get pretty good video from just like sticking it in a window and like right against the glass.
See, that's what I was annoyed by with Logitech with the Circle View is their Circle 2 camera. They had all these accessories for. They had all these different mounts. Right. They had outdoor power supply kits that you could get. And they had a window mount. Steven, you could put it inside of your window and there was an adhesive that would put it, like it was a ring of adhesive and it would stick it to your window. And there was actually a companion setting that would like reduce the glare that you would get from the infrared cameras as it would reflect off of the window. So like they had thought about all of that. And then we have like the new one and they don't have any of these accessories and it's really annoying. I feel like most of these accessories would still be good. Like, why isn't there an interior window mount and an option to toggle off the infrared lights? And why isn't there an outdoor power supply kit? The thing works outside, and they discontinued their power supply kit. Why?
It's annoying, because then you got to do weird stuff like I did and get from Amazon these like rubber boxes that you put the power cable in and all this. Not cool.
I'm glad you specified what weird stuff, because that could have been just wide ranging.
I will try to find, I'll put a link to the last episode where I talked about it, because I basically had to get a weatherproof like outlet cover so the extension cord can like plug into an outlet and it's weather protected, and where the Logitech Circle View camera plug plugs into the extension cord, you need to waterproof that, because otherwise it's going to be laying in your yard, it's going to be getting wet. And so I found these like green like cable, they're for this purpose. They're cable protectors or whatever. And it's meant to like, you plug it in and you close the shoebox green thing over the connection. It's weather tight for the most part. And it worked to keep my cameras alive, and they didn't mess up after that. So I'll find those links if our listeners want to try that. I would love to talk about a couple other camera questions for you. But before we do, we say, don't buy the $400 HomeKit camera. What you should buy is a Nebbia by Moen shower head, because they are sponsoring this episode.
What a transition.
You like the transition? Thank you very much. Thank you. If you have not heard us talk about Nebbia before, they've been a longtime friends of the show of HomeKit Insider and Apple Insider. Nebbia started because they wanted to save water, and their shower heads save 45% of water over normal shower heads. They were developed by previous NASA, Tesla, and Apple engineers. And none other than Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, was actually one of their first investors. The Nebbia co-founder also met with Tim Cook, gave him a prototype, and even Tim Cook loved this shower. So why should you get this shower? Well, not only does it save water, it is also easy to install. If you're not super do-it-yourself, don't stress. I had never changed a shower head before, and when I got the Nebbia by Moen, I was like, well, let me try it. It didn't take me more than like 15 minutes. They give you all the instructions, all the parts you need, so it's easy to change out. And it's awesome because they have two models right now. You can order the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower, which is a height-adjustable shower. It atomizes the water. That's a fancy word for it. But it basically makes an enveloping water experience, like a spa experience in your shower. Also has this little magic wand attachment, which is really cool. I highly recommend. So you can get the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower. And they also have for pre-order, and you can get free shipping on this one, is the Nebbia by Moen Quattro Shower Head, which... it's shower head, and you can like take it off and use it as a wand, and then it magnetically attaches back. I don't know, Andrew, do you actually have one of these?
Not the Quattro. So I have the regular Nebbia by Moen shower head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's really cool. I'm going to recommend the Quattro. I really like the Quattro because there are four spray settings, and there's like a high pressure setting. There's like a rain shower setting. There's four settings, and I love doing that. My kids like messing with the different settings. They really like the Nebbia by Moen spa showers. But also, if you have a family with varying height people, like namely kids and then adults, the Nebbia by Moen spa shower, like height adjustableness of that shower is pretty sweet. Yeah, Andrew, I'm killing this. And he's laughing.
I just can't get over the... if you have varying heights of people in your family...
I'm just saying.
I can just imagine like the stickers on the back with like a family, and there's like the mom and the dad and the children. And then exactly. But in Terry Stevens' world, most are just straight across. Just
well,
straight
you got
height.
The kids.
Everyone's the same. But if you're someone weird who's got different heights on your
that's
family...
That's right. That's right. It's great for different heighted families. It's awesome. There's also multiple colors. You got white and chrome. Matte black and chrome, and a spot-resistant nickel. That's the finish that I got. Which color is your Nebbia by Moen spa shower?
So all of our stuff is like this, like the brushed bronze color in there. So we have like the matte black one, which fits in really well, even if it's not the exact same finish. It still blends in really well.
Yeah.
And I think our favorite thing about it is like our old shower, just our regular shower head, you'd stand in there, and if you like touched a wall... somehow it was like warm under the water, but if you were anywhere else in the shower, it was like cold, and you'd like touch a wall and it was like ice cold. And I don't know how that was always the case, but like we put the Nebbia by Moen shower head in, and the whole shower is warm. Like wherever you are, it is warm, which is, it is really cool. And you can like, if you touch a wall with your elbow, your back, it like, it's actually warm. So you can like bump into your walls and not like shriek. So it's really cool. It just, it's really like this spa, like you're like walking into a spa and the whole place is warm and comfy. It's really cool.
Warm and comfy. they can take that and run with that as a tagline. Nebbia by Moen. Warm and comfy.
Tagline. Warm and comfy.
And right now, you can get a deal. The Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower starts at just $199. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, we have a deal. The first 50 people after this episode who use the promo code HomeKit at Nebbia.com will get 10% off Nebbia products. And again, Nebbia doesn't do sales with a lot of people, but they've partnered with us for a long time. And so it's a great deal to jump on. So go to Nebbia, Nebbia.com/HomeKit to check out what they have to offer. First 50 people to use the code HomeKit when checking out will save 10% on Nebbia products. And if you do a pre-order product like the Quattro, you can get free shipping in the U.S. Nebbia.com/HomeKit. Use the promo code HomeKit to save 10%. Our thanks to Nebbia.
That is awesome. You can get like two Nebbia showers instead of that $400 camera.
Absolutely. That's a great
bookend.
I loved it. Absolutely.
Perfect.
Totally agree.
Do you know how warm the inside of a Tauntaun is?
I know Luke Skywalker knows. I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah, it's about lukewarm.
I'll see you guys later. Wow. Listen, I'm a pretty big... I got to recover after that one. That's intense. Oh, I've been a Star Wars fan for a long time. I have not heard that joke.
You've never heard that one? It's a pretty good one.
That is an amazing joke.
It seemed really relevant to the conversation, so...
I'm in awe. I'm just in awe of that joke. Yeah, I don't know if I go on.
Should I bow?
You could say, right now? If we had an applause track, I would have played it right now.
Steven's going to go jump in a cold Nebbia by Moen shower right now to clear his head.
Luke Wolf. You just pulled that out of there too. That was impressive. Well, I don't even know how to transition out of that. That was so amazing. I think we peaked in the episode right there. But I do have another question because I think you talked about this a while ago. Someone asked me on Twitter, I forget who it was, but they were looking for an outdoor HomeKit camera with a floodlight. And I know you have the Arlo floodlight, which works with the Arlo hub, is compatible with HomeKit. But I recommended this, and I don't have it, but I thought you did, and I'm looking at the website now. The Netatmo smart outdoor camera with siren. It is at least Netatmo's website now says it is compatible with HomeKit secure video. So am I right? Didn't you have one of these?
I did not have one of those.
Okay.
The main reason is I did not have, if I'm remembering all my facts right, the Netatmo camera requires hardwiring.
Right.
And you replace an existing sconce with the Netatmo camera.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, at my home, I am limited in sconces, and I do not have one that I can commit to a camera. If I had a spot to mount that, I would absolutely 100% pick that up because their hardware is exceptional and you've got HSV, you've got the spotlight, got everything you need right there. Yeah. If you need a wireless version that you can mount anywhere that's battery powered, the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight cam. They have a dedicated camera, they have dedicated cameras. They have dedicated floodlights, but the Arlo Pro 3 floodlight cam is like combining them both together. So there is the floodlight that you can turn on and off via HomeKit and Siri. So I can just tell, Siri to turn on the floodlight camera or the outs or the backyard camera or the backyard lights, and it'll turn the floodlight on. Really handy. But you also have the camera built into it, and that camera can trigger the floodlight, and you've got both. It doesn't have HomeKit secure video, but it does work with HomeKit. I can pull it up. I can see it on like HomeCam on my Apple TV if I were like looking at all the cameras in the house. So everything else works, just no HomeKit secure video.
Gotcha. Do you need the Arlo hub for that floodlight?
I believe so. Some of their newer ones, they've been transitioning to like a Wi-Fi option, but I believe you do need the Arlo hub for it. But what I always liked about their hub is that their range is so spectacular. Mm. Like the fact that I can have the one camera out at the chicken coop, like all the way at the back of our yard. That's crazy to me that it can reach that far. And we've got like a brick house and it's like still getting that signal out there. So I think that's really impressive. So it works really well. If you've got like a lot of times people mount these cameras like on their house, like facing down. Also helpful, away from your house, facing at your house. So if you have trees or anything in your yard that you're able to like mount this on, you can mount it facing your house and get a great view too. So it really depends on your setup, but you don't have to worry about range. If it was Wi-Fi, you're not going to get range out there.
Right.
So this has that option. I believe it also gives you, don't quote me on this, I think local recording with an SD card into your base station.
Gotcha.
So you have that option. Should your Wi-Fi go out or something, you're still going to get local recordings to the base station.
That's pretty cool. You can even get that solar panel and things too to charge it out there.
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty cool. So the Netatmo one, looking now, yeah, you do have to replace, good call using the word sconce. Just pulling that out. That was pretty good.
There you go.
But yes, this is HomeKit Secure Video. The Netatmo one, it's only 1080p, but again, HomeKit Secure Video is only 1080p. We'd love for that to change. You can record locally on the micro SD card on the Netatmo. You can also get it with Siren or without Siren on that. I do think it's a really good option. I don't know, new house stuff. This would probably be the outdoor camera to do because weatherproof. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Weatherproof, you just need direct line.
If you're building and you can like dedicate your power to that, that's a good option. It's just really whether or not you've got power you can dedicate to. Unfortunately, most people don't, or most people don't want to deal with wiring and mess something up.
Yeah.
Which is where the Arlo comes in.
Yeah, very cool. We'll put links and show notes to both of those. That's pretty cool. Get those cameras, not that $400 one. I don't know what that one's about. Okay, real quick, I put this in a follow-up. We'll spend like 2 seconds on it because it's not really HomeKit related. It's just home related. But pillows. We talked about sleep tracking last time, and we actually had a couple people on Twitter interested in that and recommended other apps. I'll try to find those to put in the show notes. But have you ever done like one of these like fancy weird pillows, Andrew? Like a buckwheat or something like that?
No, not buckwheat.
That's the Hullo.
Nope.
Hullo, Hullo pillow.
Nope, I've not tried that. I have done other pillows. Like usually they're like a down pillow, but sometimes they're too fluffy. So I like mix with down pillows and like synthetic polyfill pillows. I have one like memory foam pillow, but I like it because it's like memory foam on one side and softy floof on the other. So you can like rotate it if you're like, I want something more firm, or I want something softer.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I love pillows. I really want to try one of like the charcoal pillows, and like they always look really cool and sleek, and like they're marketing, you know, this pillow advertising, the big pillow advertising people. So yeah, they've almost got me to like buy one of these pillows, but they're still fairly expensive. And I'm like, on part, like the rational part of my brain says, what really is going to be the difference? I don't really care that there's charcoal. It just claims to be really like cool and comfortable and different than memory foam. But is it? I don't know. So
is this the Makota pillow
that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's several different brands that have like this new style of charcoal pillows.
This is,
like they're just...
Sorry. This one is supposedly infused with bamboo charcoal to create next level comfort experience. Interesting.
Yeah. See, they use words like that. And I'm like, psh, sold.
That's...
I want next level comfort. It's also a pillow. I don't know how much of a difference there is. And some pillows can be stupidly priced.
Yeah, this is $150 for a pillow. But
yes,
it is perforated. There's like holes in the pillow, which I guess helps with ventilation.
If it really was like that comfortable and lasted that long, I would be like, okay, spending more money on a pillow.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting.
I also don't know.
So the reason why is I've been on a pillow quest trying to find the perfect pillow. And I did the buckwheat pillow.
Oh, the perfect pillow quest.
The perfect pillow quest.
Yeah.
And I tried Pillow Cube for the perfect pillow quest. And so I'm currently trying the Pillow Cube, which is specifically for side sleepers. You try to sleep on your back on this pillow, you get scoliosis. So you can't sleep on your back on this pillow. It's just for side sleeping. And it's an interesting pillow. I'd be curious if any of our listeners have tried the Pillow Cube. That's the one I'm currently trying. I tried the Hullo with buckwheat. Let me just say, listeners, don't do the buckwheat. I did not.
I could have told you. Did you hear my reaction?
Yes.
I could have told you that.
The buckwheat.
Before you started.
Supposedly, you can adjust the firmness by adding and removing buckwheat. And buckwheat are like these little like shell husks. And you literally have to like pour them inside the pillow or pour them out. It is the most miserable experience.
You thought that sounded like a good idea. You're like, oh, I can adjust this firmness.
Listen.
By counting my buckwheats.
I heard it on a podcast. Well, they're going to want to sponsor a HomeKit Insider now, and I'm going to have to, no. Yeah, that pillow is not good. So anyway, listeners, I'm curious what you have found in your pillow quests, and if you have found any of these fancy internet pillows that are actually good. Casper has a pillow. I tried theirs. It was meh.
Yeah, I wanted to try Casper. I was thinking the purple has a pillow that they right. just came out with that looked neat.
Yes.
I get suckered in by all of these, and I've still not found a perfect pillow.
See, it's a difficult quest.
It's frustrating, and I buy a lot of pillows.
It is. I've returned many, too. I've returned the buckwheat. I returned the Casper. It was fine.
Did you return all of the individual buckwheats? Did they count them?
Packing that thing up was a chore, let me just say. The pillow cube has been the longest lasting. I'm going to at least keep it. I'm not going to return it. But I really want a pillow that you can sleep any which way, like side, back, or otherwise. And the pillow cube
upside down, backwards,
upside down, like a bat, vampire, whatever. Yeah, this is just for side sleepers. So anyways, listeners, this week the call is pillows. Tell us what pillows you're using. Maybe one day there'll be like a smart pillow, like a sleep tracking smart pillow. That feels like probably one of the best products to put sleep tracking in.
I love how like a lot of our comments that we got about the sleep tracking stuff was people liked it, but they're like, you named five. Like, can you give us like a recommendation or best paid versus best free and stuff like that? And what is our response? Let's talk about pillows.
Well,
let's sidestep sleep adjacent.
I will say this, the sleep tracking provided by Apple directly, I don't find that information super useful and glanceable or even easy to get to. So if you want a free option, I do like my Sleepwatch app. It's called Sleepwatch. I put the link last week. I'll put it again this week. But I like the little graphs it shows you for sleeping and all that. So that's the one I would recommend. The pillow one was like editor award winning or whatever. So I'm going to try that. I think it's paid, but I'll try it and I'll see what everybody says.
So I will say this about the paid versus the free. I do not trust free apps most of the time. And especially when it comes to something like health data, I don't trust free ones. Now, usually there's going to be some sort of paid tier. Like you'll get basic sleep tracking for free or basic health monitor for free. And then there's like a paid thing. And those I can see. That's just their business model. But if it's like a free app overall, you are the customer and they're selling your data. And even if they're saying, no, I'm not selling your data, they're probably selling your data. Like there's a whole thing about like those weather apps and how many weather apps are just taking, like how many weather apps are free? Yeah, they're taking all that data and they're selling it. And many of the top ones were even reporting that, nope, we don't take any of your data. And yet they were doing it anyway and they were selling it. So especially with something like my health or my location, I'm not entrusting that to a free app because they need to make money. There's nothing wrong with them needing to make money, but the fact that they have to do it somehow, and if it's not through ads or something else, they're selling your data. And I'm not even going to like trust it. There's no way for like you as a user to audit that. Even Apple's like privacy stuff like that they post like on the App Store, that's all like developer submitted. So they're saying they're not doing anything. We're not collecting data, and they can realistically be doing some of it anyway. Obviously, health data, there's a lot of permissions going into that between the health app and those things. So if you don't allow permissions to certain stuff, then sure. You can also usually, I believe, like allow it to write data but not read data. And you can control those. That is all very secure. But just going with the like, oh, I downloaded this free app that allows me to track all my sleep and it's free. Then there's no paid things in it and it's just free for everything. They're making money off you one way or the other.
Gotcha. So for our audio listeners, I had to tell one of my kids to stop playing a tin whistle in the living room. And I will say Intercom, back to HomeKit, Intercom has been a very helpful feature because when I'm here recording, rather than get up and go and like tell them to stop, I just Intercom and it comes out of the HomePod. So that works out great. I've been loving Intercom. Just saying. Just randomly.
My whole thing with those things is like in the house, there's almost like too many ways to communicate. Like you could just shout, like shouting is still an option.
I employ that a lot. Yes.
You can text and you can just tell Siri to text for you. Like text my wife this. You can also use like walkie talkie,
right?
Which is handy because then you can just like raise, talk, and put your wrist down and it pops right out of their wrist wherever they are. Because if you don't know what room they're in, which, you know, which HomePod are you going to go through, which I guess there is the option to go to the whole house and just like hit everything. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
And then of course you have Intercom. So it's like, which one is the most appropriate?
For having three kids, I like the option that startles everyone and gets them to stop what they're doing immediately. And intercom is great for that because it, my voice comes booming out of the HomePods saying, stop playing the whistle. And it works great. And it's wonderful. So, Andrew, I want to end with, we'll come back to the sleep tracking apps and stuff. I just downloaded the Pillow app and I'm curious to see what
it does. There's your purchase for the episode.
Yep, there it is. Well, it hasn't prompted me to like upgrade yet. Or maybe I bought it in the past. Is it a one-time purchase?
Yeah, I think it is a one-time purchase.
Okay. Well, then I will try that. The SleepWatch app is free to use, but then they have a premium tier, so you can pay for it. I just don't. So anyway, I will try the Pillow one. It has a beautiful design. I mean, I like this.
Yeah, it's really, really cool looking. I love the look of the app. It's very like sleepy time looking with its purples. And
it's nice. So we'll follow up with that. I'll use it this week and come back at it.
Check out, I don't know if you tried it, but like auto sleep tracker, something like those lines that I talked about last time. See what you think of that one too.
Yeah.
I use Pillow and Auto Sleep as probably the two main ones, aside from Apple's tracking and my mattress's tracking.
And one day maybe your pillow will even track.
Maybe.
Honestly, for the automatic tracking, I feel like a pillow would be ideal. Obviously the bed would be as well, but for something a little smaller of a device, a pillow should know when your head is on it. Like that would be great if the pillow could just do that. Anyway, so let's just end with what's going on with your computer. You said you're using a laptop right now as we record this episode. What happened to your Mac Pro?
So that we're going to get technical words now, right?
Okay.
Like all right. DFU mode.
Oh.
It was a whole thing. Like, so it started with like not being able to record for our podcast. We had issues there. And then it wouldn't reboot.
Right.
Yeah, and then like you're like text me like that day, like the next day. Oh, is it working yet? No, I had spent like several days trying to triage this through the weekend, going to the early part of the week that we're recording this, and it was still not turning on. So I went to go do a trying to like streamline this a little bit because there's a lot of steps, but I tried to do a reinstall of the OS, like to repair build of the OS, and it's like you don't have enough space. I had like 15 gigs of space. I needed like 30 gigs of space. So I couldn't do it. So I had to actually put my Mac into target disk mode, connect it to another Mac, delete some files like out of my downloads folder that were like these things, like my HomeKit insider recordings, like before editing them. So I had duplicates. I'm like, psh, we'll clear out that space. So I deleted those. And then I go back, try to reinstall it again. So now I try to do the reinstall. As it's reinstalling Mac OS, it craps out on itself after the reboot. It goes through a whole bunch of stuff, thinks a whole lot, downloads things, starts doing the install, then stops. So again, it like failed. So I'm like, bah. So now I need to make sure that I can just do a clean install, like wipe the disk, do a fresh install, screw it. So I put it back into target disk mode, clear out my user folder, copy that to an external drive on my connected Mac. That worked fine. You guys are probably yelling, did you have a backup? Yes and no. I have like a backup of like my main folders, but I don't back up things like my downloads folder because it can get really massive and I'm in a bit of a data crunch at the moment just because of how much video we're creating and I need to get more storage and my 20 terabyte drive just died. So like that needs to get fixed. Yeah. So like I'm like in a data crunch. Like I couldn't like back up like whole thing, but fortunately I did have enough space to get my downloads folder off and the rest of the user folder. So all of my stuff is now perfectly backed up. I got everything backed up. I go to do the install and now it will not boot into Recovery Assistant. It just like, when it comes on, it just like thinks for a whole long time. And then it goes to it won't boot into Recovery Mode. And instead it boots into Recovery Assistant, which is used to like reset your password.
Oh.
Like, I don't need to reset my password. I know my password. I just need to like wipe this, but there is no option. Like you just literally just boots into this weird assistant and no option to like, you know, get into disk utility or do any of that crap. So I connected again to my other Mac and we're going to just do a wipe using configurator. So there's like this power thing you do, like I believe to put in like DFU mode where you hold down the power button while it's disconnected and you stick the power cord in, hold the power button down for another 3 or so seconds to put it into like this DFU repair mode, right? So I connected to my other Mac, opened up configurator 2 and it's like, your Mac is borked and it will not do anything. It's like, you need to like reinstall. I was like, okay, that's fine. Like I got to do something anyway, right? I knew it was already screwed up. So I do that. And then it's like failed. We could not do it. We got through 3 of the 4 steps, but we could not like reboot, reinstall, whatever it was trying to do. So it's like, now you need to revive your T2 chip. That's the next step that you have to do.
That's not good.
So I did that, and I think that actually did work. I think it did revive with the T2, so it did wipe everything, revived the T2. So I boot up the machine, and bam, we're in recovery mode. We're in, like, internet recovery. So, like, we got the globe spinning. It's downloading everything online. And it's going to walk me through a nice, clean install of Mac OS, right? And we start going, and it gets about 25% of the way and then stops and just doesn't ever install. So after like 3 hours of it sitting there at like 25%, I turned it off and marched it right into the Apple Store. This thing is not like light, by the way, because it's full of like MPX modules and stuff. Right. And I took it into them and I was like, and the guy is like, okay, well, tell me what you did. So I told him that whole story, which you have to do 3 times every time you see like a tech or something. Right. So I tell that story like 3 times and he's like, okay, well, we're going to try to do the T2 revive, you know, just see if we get a better luck than you did. And then we'll see if we can reinstall from there. I'm like, okay, go for it. Please. Like, absolutely. I would love if you had better luck than I did. So he takes it in back. I'm sitting out there for like 20 minutes. He comes back. Yeah. Well, the T2 revive worked through configurator. So everything's looking good so far. We're just going to reinstall Mac OS. It's an internet recovery right now. So, you can wait for the install to finish, or we can just go ahead and call you and you can come pick it up when it's done. I'm like, that's fine. Just remember I did that. So we'll see if it gets past 25%. So he's like, yeah, well, let's, you know, cross our fingers. Hopefully we'll get back to you soon. That was 2 days ago and I have not heard a thing.
Nothing? They haven't told you anything?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm just saying,
wow.
If it was as simple as just getting that to reinstall at this point, I would have gotten a phone call 2 days ago, that afternoon, because I was in there in the morning. So, and they were already starting the install when I was there. So if that's what it was, if it was just reinstalling it,
yeah,
I think I would have gotten a call that day. They probably don't want a massive Mac Pro like sitting around if they can avoid it. I would have gotten a call 2 days ago. So now it's been a few days and I haven't heard anything. So I'm like kind of thinking like maybe I should try to call them and see if they haven't, like if they can give me an update.
Yes.
Because I don't know. So that's it. It's still borked. It's still nothing.
Yeah, you got to call them, man. That's crazy. I mean, 2 days, they should have at least told you that day. Like, I feel like they should have called you back later.
That it failed or something?
Just to say, like, BT Dubs, yeah, it's broken. I mean, unless they're trying to fix it all or, like, get you a new...
Oh, I assume they're trying to do something, but they're not going to do a hardware report, a hardware repair without telling me, right? Because they're not going to charge you. They got to get your permission before they did, like, a massively expensive hardware repair. So, I don't know. I have no clue. So, maybe I'll try to call today. Maybe I'll get off this call. Well, they're not open for a little bit, but I'll call them maybe today and see it.
Yeah.
If they have anything to tell me.
The saga continues. My goodness, that's crazy. On a Mac Pro.
Yeah, I'm doing all this editing on a M1 MacBook Air. And like, it's fine. Like, it does work well. Like, it is surprising how like fast the M1 processor is, but it still stutters every once in a while. And I'm like losing frames during playback, stuff like that. Like, it's still just not as smooth as obviously a Mac Pro is, which I'm pretty glad about because they're not comparable in terms of price. So I am glad that the Mac Pro is still able to, you know, run it over. But yeah, it's been a little frustrating trying to get some videos edited on this guy.
Well, the saga continues. Listeners, tune in next week for an update on Andrew's Mac Pro on sleep trackers. Let us know about your pillows and stuff. And anything else. If you got outdoor cameras, if you are buying that $400 camera for some odd reason, which, even though we told you not to do it, you can let us know about that. Tweet at Andrew and myself. Let us know what you got going on HomeKit project-wise. Next week, I'm also going to talk about the Akara USB hub. It's like this little stick-type hub where you can just plug it into a USB charger in the wall, and it just kind of sticks up there like a little antenna. And I got that, so I'm going to set it up. And
I also have another thing to talk about next week. Look for some like hands-on coming out on Tuesday on Apple Insider. It's a pretty cool one.
Hand-wringing in the video. Okay, very cool. I'm excited for that. Also, subscribe to the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel where you can watch the show. You can see my reaction to Andrew's killer Tauntaun joke. It just totally took me off guard.
You can see my reaction to Steven saying weird words.
Which,
just imagine a big old eye roll.
Yes, this happened an entire episode. We would appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts if you haven't done yet. If you haven't yet done that, That's the end of the show.
Your words are well.
Pronunciation. Moses supposes his toeses are roses. Sorry, I had to do a little diction exercise there from theater. You like that? 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That would greatly help out the show. And let us know what you think there. And again, tweet at us. That'll be in the show notes as well. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.